Welcome to the Happy Nurses, Happy Patients podcast, brought to you by Shift Wizard. My name is Jeremy Brewer, and with each episode, we hope to bring you insightful conversations from thought leaders throughout healthcare. Today, we will be talking with Dr. Jennifer Jackson. Jen is an adjunct professor at the University of Cincinnati in their DNP program. She has been a nurse for over 20 years and has served as a nurse leader for the majority of that time. She is the former CNO at the University Medical Center at UC and is currently serving as an interim CNO. I hope you enjoy our talk. Jen, thank you for trusting in me and in Shift Wizard and helping us launch what we believe is going to be a very exciting podcast for those nurses and nurse leaders within healthcare. So thank you for being here today.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
So let's talk about a little bit about your experience. Just let people know who Jen Jackson is and how we got here today.
Yeah, so, you know, I am, at the end of the day, anyone will tell you that I'm a nurse. I just, you know, I go to work every day and I want to take care of patients and I want to make a difference. And so, you know, many people often ask nurses, hey, why did you become a nurse? Why are you in healthcare? And, you know, healthcare is so complicated. Why do you still do that? The work at the bedside is so hard. And what I say is that, you know what, when it's in your blood and it's a passion for you, it's not hard work. You know, yeah, do we have tough days? Sure, we do. But, you know, I started out as a neuroscience nurse and did a little labor and delivery, realized that I preferred the upper part of the body than delivering babies for the next 20 years. But I love those L&D nurses. And then I got into nursing leadership, and that's when I realized what my real passion was for nursing. It was that really I was meant to be a nurse leader, that I was meant to really take that journey and make the day-to-day work at the bedside just a little bit easier. So that's what I go to work every day and try and do.
So let's go back to UC. I think you spent a lot of time in the ED, and you spent a lot of time in the helicopter. And, so let's talk a little bit about that, about the excitement that comes with being a flight nurse and being on sidelines and all the stuff that you did there.
Yeah, you know, so what I love about nursing is that it never has to be boring. And so, particularly in my leadership roles, I got the opportunity to spend a lot of time in a lot of different areas of the hospital. And so, I got to ultimately lead air care and mobile care. And it was an amazing experience. You know, you go up in that aircraft and you never know what you're going to end up at. And I admire any nurse who does that, because you never know what you're going to get when you land on the ground. And but what you do know is that your skill set's going to come in handy for somebody that day. And then the craziness of the ER, right? You see those shows all the time. You know, nurses talk about, you know, the worst day and the best day and the craziest thing they've ever seen. You know, I think one of the craziest things I ever, as a leader, got a phone call and asked to do, we had a patient come into the emergency room who had successfully put a really old lock on a very specific part of his body that maybe it shouldn't have been there. And ironically, he did not have a key. So we actually had to send our security clear up about an hour and a half away to get a very old school key to try and get that,
seriously,
that lock off. So as a leader, you never know what phone call you're going to get. And somebody's going to say, you need to come here now. And what's funny is people say, you never ask us why. And I say, well, because I don't worry about it. Because if you're calling me, you clearly needed me.
You needed me, right?
So I've had a fair share of mine. I had a brand new nurse once bring me, hey, this person has this bubble blowing device. Yeah, for all of you out there, you probably know that it was not a bubble blowing device, but it was something that you might use for recreational drugs. So every once in a while, you got to educate along the way.
That's right. So leading one of the top level one trauma centers in America, what were some of the challenges that come with that?
Yeah, well, and I think as any CNO, no matter what hospital you're in, whether it's an academic level, you know, academic level one trauma center, or it's, you know, a community facility, because I've been a CNO in both. And really at the end of the day, the challenges are specific to the community. And each environment brings a little bit different twist to the table. So whether you're working in rural America, where potentially you only have 15 people who are going to show up that night to take care of those 50 patients that are in your building, if two people call off, you're sunk. You know, whereas in the academic world, yeah, you got a lot more bodies to divide up. but the patients sometimes are a little more complicated, and there are usually a lot more caregivers involved in the patient's care. So I think that as a nurse leader, the challenges are really, at the end of the day, are pretty, I mean, it's all about the associates that you have at the bedside. Mm-hmm. It's all about the interdisciplinary team and whether they're functioning effectively as a team. I mean, I bring in sports analogies all the time because we're all going to take the field. The question is, did everybody read the playbook that day? and then I think the ever-changing insurance game, mm-hmm. the ever-changing healthcare environment, what are the newest rules and regs out there? Right. You know, we as bedside nurses sometimes don't understand what regulations get put into play. And so we as leaders are then forced to help them understand why they're changing their practice and why it is a best practice and why you can't just keep doing something the same way for 20 years.
Yeah, for sure. When you look at, now that you're consulting and you're looking at things, so when you look globally, you said the challenges are, you know, specific to each institution, but there are global challenges in health, not only in healthcare, but in nursing specifically. So what are like three to five of those challenges that you see?
So I think some of the challenges are nurses are moving away from the bedside. They're finding other ways to be nurses. So they don't want to work, you know, the long 12-hour shifts. They don't want to be, you know, at that grind every single day. The wear and tear can be a lot on nurses. So, you know, I think that leads to the second challenge, which is, have you maximized the resources available for those who are still working at the bedside? And so healthcare is a challenge. Operational efficiency is a challenge. We hear about it every day. You know, they're cutting more at the bedside. You know, patients aren't going to hospitals anymore, but it's actually not true. Patients are still going to hospitals. They're just sicker. They're just more acute. They're things that can't be cared for, because the only reason why anyone ever needs a hospital is because you need a nurse. You need that expertise at the bedside to provide you with that care. So, and then I think one of the other ones is we can't seem to guess where healthcare reform is going to go.
True.
We don't know. It looks one way today. And then I always say, as soon as the whole, you know, political landscape changes, healthcare changes.
Sure.
So we do have to, and you've got state specific, and then you've got, you know, federal. And, you know, and then when you look at healthcare outside the United States and what's, you know, some of their struggles are, you think, really, they come down to the same things at the end of the day. I've been to the Philippines. I've been to Japan. I've done mission work down in Haiti. I mean, at the end of the day, it comes back to the same thing. Do I have enough bodies and supplies to do the work that I need to do?
Yeah. So let's dig in a little bit. I love what you just said, is that you go to the hospital because you need a nurse.
Yeah.
I would think you go to the hospital because you need a doctor, but you need a nurse. So let's dig into that a little bit.
Yeah. So what's really cool about physicians is they do amazing work every day, right? They do the problem solving. They figure out the diagnosis. They bring the compassion and the empathy to their patients. They do active listening. That's, you know, but when the patient's disease process gets to a point where the physician can't manage it with daily medications, with maybe a spike in a treatment plan to help them through, they need to go to the hospital because they need what the nurse can provide. So the nurse brings the expertise to the bedside of, I'm going to interpret your disease process. I'm going to help you understand why maybe we're elevating your treatment plan further to get you maybe over this hump or over this spike. They need to be there because you don't feel good. You don't feel like lifting your head up off the bed. You don't feel like eating the meal that's about ready to come in. And sometimes you don't even feel like you're strong enough to walk maybe to the restroom. And so that's why you need a nurse, because the nurse is going to assess you all day long, because that's why they're there. And then they're going to keep your doctor informed, so that then the physician can feel really educated, mm-hmm. and they can make the best care plan for you.
Interesting. That's a great perspective. Thanks for sharing that. I've never heard that perspective, and I've known you forever. And so that was pretty awesome.
I can't believe we've never talked about it.
I know. Hard question here. Is there a nursing shortage?
Gosh, that is a hard question, because I think it depends on what part of the country you're in, whether you're hiring only BSN nurses or if you're willing to hire, you know, all licensed nurses, so from diploma, ADN, you know, type programs, and what expertise you're looking for at the bedside. We do know that it's a younger age population at the bedside, and the younger you are, the less organized you are. So the feel is I need more bodies to compensate for something that if I had nurses who all had 10 years of experience, I probably don't need as many of those individuals. They know how to organize their day. They know how to recognize things quickly. They know how to move patients through the system. And so sometimes I think the shortage is because the average longevity of a nurse in a hospital is 3 to 5 years versus, oh my gosh, I live in a rural community somewhere and I'm the only game in town.
Right. So you teach. So what do you see? We hear in healthcare you have 5 generations of nurses. You know,
I think we're up to 6.
Are we up to 6
now? I think we might be.
So you hear that there's 6 generations of nurses. So in your teaching in the DNP program, so you're seeing, I guess, some people who have been through nursing school, then they're coming, they've probably been through a master's program. So they're a bit tenured, but they're a bit young. So tell me what you're seeing from a educator's perspective with the nurses that you're seeing daily.
So I think from an education perspective, many people have said, you know, I'm going back to school because I want to advance my career. So we're seeing that group of care providers who are like, you know, I want to advance from the bedside. I want to, you know, advance my career. Well, then we're seeing the new grads who are coming in and they're saying, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this once. And I'm going to start from the beginning. I'm going to get my nurse. I'm going to get my ACNP. I'm going to get my DNP. And then I'm going to go out and practice. So as a educator, it's really interesting because you're seeing all facets of really the care continuum. You're seeing all the generations in your classroom. Wow. And so particularly when you, you know, where I teach at the University of Cincinnati, we're an Apple designated facility. So we spend a lot of time in iPads and in our courses are built within, you know, the iTunes University. And so when you're asking someone who is, you know, that 40, 50 plus who has decided to go back, some of them aren't as computer savvy. And then you have the younger generation who's incredibly computer savvy, but they don't have the time at the bedside.
Right.
And so as a faculty member, you spend a lot of time focusing on all those different levels. And so nursing is not going to look the same as it did when I graduated. When I graduated, I wore my white, you know, uniform. I got my stripes. I got my pen. I got my cap. You know, my parents came to my capping ceremony. It was great and very scary. And those pictures should never, ever come out.
We got to get those pictures.
Right. You know, when I was at, you know, the University of Evansville, I would have never dreamed that nursing would look the way it looks today. And so, you know, many people are moving away from the bedside and that's why they're going back to school. And so helping them to understand that by advancing your career, you can still stay at the bedside, I think is an important part as a faculty and as an educator.
All right. So what advice are you giving to these new nurse leaders, up and coming nurse leaders, about being a nurse leader and kind of the path to become a nurse leader?
Yeah. So I think there's 5 keys at the end of the day for any new nurse leader. And I've kind of broke them down into simply, to be a nurse leader, we have to be focused on kind of these 5. So it's about people. It's about the associates that work with us, work for us. It's about recruitment. It's about retention. It's about quality. You can't get away from quality. I mean, when you talk about value-based purchasing, you talk about age caps, you can't get away from the quality. And as a leader, if you don't want to focus on quality, don't become a leader. And if you don't want to talk to people, don't become a leader. And then it's all about experience. You know, as much as we hate to say it, I say to people all the time, people don't come to a hospital because they thought they were going to an amusement park that day. You know, here in Cincinnati, we've got one that's called Kings Island, and I use that as an example all the time. They didn't walk through the gates and say, boy, I hope I can go ride the Vortex today. You know, they come into our facilities because they're scared and right. Because they need an answer. And sometimes those answers are really great and sometimes those answers aren't. And sometimes we just have to be there and we have to be present. So as a nurse, you know, leader, you have to embrace experience. you know? And then finance. I know it's a dread. Nurses are not taught finance. That's why I teach finance in the DMP course, which people hate because they're like, oh, she's a CNO who understands finance. But there's a reason. Because if we don't understand it, we can't articulate it. And we can't ask for what we need as a leader. And then you have to understand the unexpected. I've got a lot of unexpected things that have happened from, I was sitting in my office, I was getting ready to have this really hard conversation with a student nurse and their faculty member, and the fire alarm went off. And I was like, oh, this must be a drill. And it kept going off. And then I heard the HVAC unit kick off, and I thought, well, that can't be good. And then all of a sudden, my office door flew open, and everybody told me there was a fire in the basement. I was like,
oh my goodness.
Well, no one told me how to handle that as a CNO. So you have to be flexible. You have to understand. Right. So we evacuated half a hospital. We actually did have a fire in our HVAC unit.
Oh my goodness.
A welder caught a spark on fire, and everyone got out fine. No one was hurt. All patients were taken care of. But not many people get that opportunity in their career because no one said to me, hey, Jen, when you become a nurse leader, there's these unexpected things that happen. Here's a handbook. You have to kind of roll with it sometimes. And so I tell new nurse leaders to be patient because it happens.
It does. And you never know, right?
Right.
Especially in a hospital. You never know what's going to happen, right?
You never know what next patient's going to roll in the door.
Right.
It's the unexpected fun, I call it. Not literally sometimes, but it's the unexpected fun. So if you really can relate, associate with people, and really embrace that, the quality, the experience, the finance, the unexpected. As a new nurse leader, mm-hmm. you will really do well.
So who'd you learn from?
Gosh, I learned from two really amazing guys. One was Dennis Robb and one was Dennis Caligari. Both hired me, were my mentors, and then a physician by the name of Dr. John Too. The three of them, I really could not credit my career better. And then as I became a CNO, Leanne Liska was probably who helped me to mentor me mm-hmm. to become that CNO leader that I wanted to be. But I have many people who mm-hmm. I feel like every single day help me to just become a better. I feel like everyone needs a coach. Everyone needs somebody that they can call up and bounce something off of. Mm-hmm. And then we have to give that back.
Yeah.
So I do that for people and people do that for me.
Great. Great. Influence, what are you reading? What's your influence right now?
So I am reading, ironically, so I'm big into transformational leadership. So the book I've been reading, it's called Transformational Leadership. Lots of people talk about it. Not many people live it. It's not sexy, soft, or easy. And it's by a gentleman by the name of Josh Medcalf and Jamie Gilbert. And the book really, they're very much into, they coach athletes mm-hmm. and coaches. And so it sings to me because I'm really, that kind of makes sense. I feel
sure.
like everything we do is about the team approach. And so it's been a fun book to read. It, again, just rejuvenates how I should be a leader, what I should do, and helps me to think mm-hmm. that it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Journey to become a nursing leader doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for Jen?
Gosh, you know, so I'm going to get ready to start another interim job at a facility as the CNO there. I've been doing different talks around, you know, innovation, healthcare at the bedside, leadership, shared governance, things like that. And then, you know, on the side, I'm spending a lot of time. I've taken up hiking. It's kind of crazy. Never thought that I'd like love it, but you know, being a type A, like always wanting to be on the go, I thought standing in the middle of nature might not be my, I might want to sprint or bike through it, but you know, I'm embracing it.
Oh yeah. I'd like to see you chill out a little bit. So
it'll be scary.
That's a good question though. I mean, there's so much pressure as a leader in general, but specifically in healthcare and on nurses in healthcare, because you're dealing with patients each and every day. You never know what's going to walk in the door, even in your own unit when it should be the same patient day in and day out. But I mean, they're all different. How do you unplug? How do you leave that at the hospital, or can you even leave it at the hospital?
Yeah. So I don't know that you ever leave it, but, one of my wise coaches, helped me to realize that I'm a waffle girl at the end of the day, and I put everything in boxes. So
got it. And
sometimes when the syrup overflows in the boxes, I'm kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. But you know, what I think I try to do is I try to make work work and I try to make home home. Mm. And, you know, are we successful every day? No. But I always say, if you, the old coin phrase, do what you love and love what you do, mm-hmm. because really at the end of the day, they're one and the same. Your family at work and your family at home, they just have two different needs from you. They have two different desires from you. But at the end of the day, you carry that in both directions. So I personally think, you know, exercise for me works really well. I have other friends who they read, other friends who do photography. I say, find what you love to do and just do that. Do that when you're not working, because we work a lot.
Yeah, a whole lot, especially now that there's a nursing shortage, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, at Shift Wizard, we believe happy nurses equal happy patients. When you hear that phrase, what does that make you think about?
It makes me think that I went in and did my job that day. Because if the patients, you know, we don't always have the best stories to give patients, you know, but we have to be there for them. We're there from when they start their life many times to when maybe they take their last breath. And the beauty of what we do every day is that we touch lives. And I tell people all the time, you never know what life you've touched, so just make the most of every interaction. And I think that's what Shift Wizard's phrase really does.
Awesome. Thank you. How do people get in touch with you?
So I'm on LinkedIn, under Jennifer Jackson, or I'm on Twitter. So, and that my handle is CNO Jen. So if anyone wants to reach out, you can, direct me either of those or follow me on either.
Awesome. Great. Well, Jen, thanks for joining us on our first of the Happy Nurses, Happy Patients podcast. It's been a lot of fun. I look forward to see what next adventures come your way. And as you said, you can hit Jen up on LinkedIn or Twitter. So with that, I hope you all enjoyed this first podcast and look for many more to come from Shift Wizard. Thanks.